Truth News Network.
Identity politics is poisoning the American well of freedom.
There is an antidote.
It's right here at TNN, Truth News Network. For today's chapter, here's Dan Newman.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Truth News Network, truthnewsnet.org. I'm Dan Newman. We're glad you joined us here today. And let me first say something about this. We have been giving you analysis of who we say is the top group of potential candidates to run as Democrats in the 2020 election. We've chronicled five or six so far, and we paused in that presentation. We're not abandoning it. We have the whole slate for you, and we'll be rolling those out in analysis in between more important items and timely items of the day throughout the next few weeks here at truthnewsnet.org. We're not abandoning that plan. We've got them for you. So be checking back every day, and you're going to get who those Democrat candidates are. You'll learn all about them, policies, positions, and their history. In the meantime, we have some very important things to discuss here. Today, the border wall. Why Democrats say no. I have struggled with this for some time. I remember when many well-known Democrats verbally excoriated the fact that illegals were entering the United States through our southern border.
Do you remember when Bill Clinton said this?
All Americans, not only in the states most heavily affected, but in every place in this country, are rightly disturbed by the large numbers of illegal aliens entering our country. The jobs they hold might otherwise be held by citizens or legal immigrants. The public service they use impose burdens on our taxpayers. That's why our administration has moved aggressively to secure our borders more, by hiring a record number of new border guards, by deporting twice as many criminal aliens as ever before, by cracking down on illegal hiring, by barring welfare benefits to illegal aliens.
All the way back to 1995, in a State of the Union message, that was former President Bill Clinton. And he was expressing his opposition to illegal migrants entering the country at our southern border. What about another senator, Harry Reid, former majority leader in the U.S. Senate?
If making it easy to be an illegal alien isn't enough, how about offering a reward for being an illegal immigrant? No sane country would do that, right? Guess again. If you break our laws by entering this country without permission and give birth to a child, we reward that child with U.S. citizenship and guarantee of full access to all public and social services this society provides. And that's a lot of services. Is it any wonder that two-thirds of the babies born at taxpayer expense at country, county-run hospitals in Los Angeles are born to illegal alien mothers?
That was from 1993. He wasn't the Senate Majority Leader then, but became the Senate Majority Leader. Senator Harry Reid from Nevada was against illegals coming into the United States. In this particular case he's speaking of, he was talking about the babies born to illegals here in the United States automatically get U.S. citizenship and how evil that was. Fast forward for more than a decade, in fact, about 15 years. And then there was a senator from Illinois who eventually moved to 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. His thoughts on illegal migrants.
We all agree on the need to better secure the border and to punish employers who choose to hire illegal immigrants. We are a generous and welcoming people here in the United States, but those who enter the country illegally and those who employ them disrespect the rule of law, and they are showing disregard for those who are following the law. We simply cannot allow people to pour into the United States undetected, undocumented, unchecked, and circumventing the line of people who are waiting patiently, diligently, and lawfully to become immigrants.
The bill before us will certainly do some good. It will authorize some badly needed funding for better fences and better security along our borders. And that should help stem some of the tide of illegal immigration in this country.
But even with leading Democrats on record blasting what seems to have evolved into an open border policy during Barack Obama's presidential administration, Democrats, and even some Republicans, still refuse to demand adherence to American immigration laws. Who can forget the embarrassing surprise video from the Oval Office in which Democrat leaders Nancy Pelosi from California, soon to retake the gavel as House Speaker, and Chuck Schumer, Democrat of New York, the minority leader in the Senate, were shocked President Trump invited the media to look in live at that meeting that was somehow to resolve the differences and get resolution on funding for the border wall. Pelosi and Schumer were ill-prepared for what happened. They were exposed for their hypocrisy regarding the funding of the border wall. Both Pelosi and Schumer had previously supported such a measure to stem the flow of illegals. But even in the wake of such an embarrassing exposure of their hypocrisy, still, there is no consensus from Democrats to support what almost all of them previously supported. Funding is necessary for a wall, fencing, and other security measures to stop mass illegal migration into the United States. Why is this? Today we are going to dispel any questions you may have had for the hesitance of any and all from the left to support a southern border wall. Today, the rest of the story. What could really be going on? What was it that happened to not only alter the opinions of those Democrats shown and heard above, but to alter their opinions by 180 degrees? I mean, it's a 180 degree turnaround. Something or some things dramatically turned them around the other way. What could it be? Could it be that the Democrat base that cared not for the criminality of those entering the United States illegally, primarily for work, decided it was smart to not only allow, but encourage illegal migrants to sneak into the country to take blue-collar jobs away from those Americans who worked in the agriculture, food and beverage, and construction sectors? Or could there be some other reason or reasons? We can narrow that down real easily. It has to be votes. Every educated American voter realizes that political might means political control. And that control comes from party support, primarily Republican or Democrat. What does that look like? Altogether, there are 31 states plus the District of Columbia with party registration. In the others, such as Virginia, voters register without reference to party. Among the party registration states are some of the nation's most populous: California, New York, Florida, North Carolina, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Arizona, and Massachusetts. The basic facts are, in 19 states and the district, there are more registered Democrats than Republicans. In 12 states, there are more registered Republicans than Democrats. In aggregate, 40% of all voters in party registration states are Democrats, 29% are Republicans, and 28% are independents. Nationally, the Democratic advantage in the party registration states approaches 12 million registered voters. Still, Republican Donald Trump found a route to victory in 2016 that went through the party registration states. He scored a near sweep of those where there were more Republicans than Democrats, winning 11 of 12. While also taking 6 of the 19 states where there were more Democrats than Republicans, a group that included the pivotal battleground states of Florida, North Carolina, and Pennsylvania. At this point, it might be wise to pause and ask this question: why do these numbers matter, either individually or in the aggregate? Well, certainly there are facts that argue that they should be taken with a grain or two of salt. Most party registration states are found in more Democratic terrain, like the Northeast, 11 states plus the District of Columbia, and the West, 10 states, followed by the South, 6 states, and the Midwest, 4 states, all of the latter rural states west of the Mississippi River. To be sure, there are a number of major states that do not register voters by party, such as Texas, Georgia, Washington, and the keystones of the industrial Midwest, Illinois, Indiana, Michigan, Ohio, and Wisconsin. If they did register by party, Texas, Georgia, and Indiana would almost certainly add to the Republican total, the industrial states probably less so. And there is some sentiment that a voter's party identification may mean less than it once did, as the number of individuals who register now as independent or no party preference, unaffiliated, or whatever other voter label the individual states prefer, steadily grows. At the beginning of this century, barely 20% of all voters in party registration states were independents. Nowadays, that total is approaching 30%. Altogether, there are 10 states with more registered independents than either Democrats or Republicans. That's a very important number. These states are mainly in the Northeast, with a cluster also in the West. By comparison, there are Democratic pluralities of registered voters in 13 states, plus the District of Columbia, and 8 other states with Republicans ahead of both Democrats and independents. In addition, there are 6 states where there is an independent plurality, but Democrats outnumber Republicans, and 4 states where independents are on top of the registration totals, but Republicans outnumber Democrats. That produces the 19-12 state registration advantage for the Democrats mentioned earlier. With the growth in independents, many voters seem to be saying to the two major parties, a pox on both your houses. Yet it also can be argued that registering Democratic or Republican is far more of a statement than it once was. In the current age of sharp-edged partisanship, there is a far more than a dime's worth of difference between the two major parties. So registering as a Democrat or Republican is a very intentional act of differentiation. And that makes the party registration figures worth looking at. A comparison of party registration totals on the eve of the 2016 presidential election with the actual voting in November shows a noticeable correlation between party registration and the state-by-state election outcomes. 24 of the 31 party registration states were won by the nominee whose party had more registered voters, discounting independents for this particular comparison. That is a 77% correlation rate between party registration advantage and a winning electoral outcome. The percentage goes up to 88% if one removes the South, the one area of the country where party registration is a lagging indicator of the fortunes of the two major parties. So, what does all this mean? They're very important facts, and we need to consider them in detail. More about that in our summary. We're going to tell you exactly what's going on in the minds of the Democrats just ahead at TruthNewsNet.org.
We may not be able to lower the cost of gas, but we can do something about how many miles you will drive per gallon. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store today and let us help you increase the performance of your car or truck. Simple things like replacing your air filter, changing worn-out spark plugs, and using fuel injector cleaner can add up to better fuel economy and big savings. There's an O'Reilly Auto Parts store close to you that has the name brands, low prices, and people who can help.
Restore lost fuel economy and eliminate rough idle with Lucas Fuel Injector Cleaner. Right now at O'Reilly Auto Parts, buy two and get one free. Lucas Fuel Injector Cleaner quickly cleans clogged injectors to increase fuel efficiency and help your vehicle run smooth. Lucas Fuel Injector Cleaner, buy two, get one free at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Limit supply. See store for details.
O'Reilly. Oh, 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 O'Reilly. Auto Parts.
TNN, the Truth News Network.
So we're analyzing what the Democrats really are up to. Why the sudden change in their immigration policy? It seems like they're all for open borders now. Well, the voting facts that we just looked at prove something that has become more and more important. Policies over experience with parties and adherence to campaign promises. And each of the above, election by election, state by state, and party by party, show voters are now more than ever abandoning their voting habits proven again and again through generations of American voting based on those principles. Of the 31 party registration states, 24 were carried in the 2016 presidential election by the party with the most registered voters in it. Donald Trump swept 11 of those 24 with the Republican registration advantage, while Hillary Clinton won 13 of the 19 states, plus the District of Columbia, which had more registered Democrats than Republicans. Four of the Democratic registration states that Trump took were in the South, led by Florida and North Carolina. He also overcame Democratic registration advantages in West Virginia and Pennsylvania to win both. The only state with more registered Republicans than Democrats that Hillary Clinton carried was New Hampshire, where the outcome was very, very close. Putting it bluntly, more Democrats abandoned their candidate in the 2016 presidential race than did Republicans their candidate. Why would voters do that? Facts and believability. Obviously, more voters, based on state-by-state totals, therefore electoral votes, believe Donald Trump than did Hillary Clinton. Enough to tilt the Electoral College to the GOP. So, let's tie all this up. We still need to answer the question, why did Democrats in leadership change their policies on illegal migration? The answer, folks, is very, very simple. Political posturing. Political posturing. Let me explain. Whether justified or not, Democrat Party leadership have weighed all the data listed above, the temperament of their party members, their tremendous losses over the past decade in congressional seats, governorships, and statehouse seats. Adding those to the mass migration away from the Democrat Party by the way of movements like Walk Away, as documented on Facebook, Democrats have seen the handwriting on the wall. Their conclusion is the Democrat Party is doomed without a tremendous and immediate influx of new party line voters. Their answer, illegal immigrant voter registration. But if they are to citizens, they cannot vote, right? If they're not citizens, they cannot vote. For federal elections, that is a fact. But who reading this story or listening to this podcast does not believe there were illegals that somehow voted in the 2018 midterms? States like California, who have registered illegals to vote in local and state elections, operated their 2018 elections just as they have for decades. One voting poll, one set of voting machines, one on-site registration process, and voting for local, state, and federal offices simultaneously. Call me a doubter, but a process structured like that certainly was the perfect spot to bend the rules. And we all know most Californians want all inhabitants of the state to vote in every election. No, illegals cannot legally vote in federal elections today. But getting them here in some legal fashion is a start for Democrats. No, it is not certain that illegal migrants would vote Democrat in every instance. But Democrat Party leaders have shown for decades that by teaching migrants that they owe the Democrat Party their allegiance and their votes is a virtual certainty. How do we know that? Take a look at the African American vote. Democrats have convinced millions of black voters through decades that their party is the party in total support of all things important to the African American community. More importantly, Democrats have convinced blacks that Republicans are, on the most part, racist, that look at African Americans as unworthy of equal treatment in the United States. Obviously, facts in this case do not matter. Here are the facts. Democrats did not fight the Civil War to free slaves. Abraham Lincoln of the Republican Party initiated that action. Democrats did not pass the amendment to give blacks the right to vote. Republicans did. Democrats did not pass legislation to allow blacks to serve in American armed forces. Republican President Dwight Eisenhower did that. Democrats did not take action to integrate public schools. Republicans did that. So here's the skinny, folks. The Democrat Party has no party platform. Tell me, what's their platform? It has no fundamental principles on which to stand, and no policies that belong to them exclusively that were used in the 2018 midterm elections, and none yet for the 2020 election, other than anti-Trump. They have no way to attract new party members. None whatsoever. Their only plan? Get a disenfranchised group of migrants into the U.S. The Democrats will certainly be able to berate into feeling obligated to the Democrat Party, which means those migrants will, of course, vote for Democrats. Do I know that for a fact? Facts listed above and the 180-degree departure from their age-old insistence on perpetuation of the rule of law pretty much make the assumption a factual assumption. But if you don't agree, please tell me why they have abandoned the only government fundamental that separates the United States from every other country on earth: the rule of law. Democrats, under Obama, controlled the Senate. They controlled the House. And they obviously controlled the White House. They didn't pass legal immigration. It hasn't been passed in the Trump administration. Democrats don't want to change immigration laws. They want to open the southern border. Tell me why I'm wrong. I'm waiting. I'm still waiting. Dan@truthnewsnet.org. I'd love to hear from you. Thanks for joining us today. Immigration, it's a big problem here in the United States. How are we going to get it fixed? Thank you for joining us here today. We love being together with you. We love you making the journey with us at truthnewsnet.org. So long, everybody.
Your source of truth in a chaotic world. 24/7, online, on your devices. TNN, the Truth News Network.
truthnewsnet.org.